The readings today are from the Gospel of Luke, but I'm going to invite you not to pull out your Bibles because I'm going to read pieces of that scripture. And what I want you to listen for, are there repetitions? Are there themes that come up again and again? How do these messengers, these angels, speak? Then there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah saw him, and he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Be not afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will call him John, and he will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he is great in the sight of the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, for nothing is impossible with God." And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born on this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all those whom God favors." And the angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
This year, I have been saturated with Santas. I'm this far away from Santa grumpiness. I mean, it started just fine. It was the Gay Men's Chorus Christmas concert at Davies Hall. And the second half, all the men dressed like Santa, 300 of them. I was all for it. And then I saw a lot of Santas, odd ones around, dogs with Santa hats. You know, that little Chinese good luck cat has a hat down there in the beauty shop. And then it was SantaCon last week, which is supposed to be spontaneous Santas all over town. When this part of the neighborhood, it means young people that go from bar to bar to bar, and they're really cute at about 11, but about 7, not so much. But I was working on it. I'd gone to get a little bit of Christmas joy at a friend's house where my 4-year-old friend had her first dance pageant, you know, where you wear all the sequins, and I went to go see the pictures of it on her iPad, which she had to use because I didn't know how. And I thought she'd show me all the pictures of her in her little sequency dress. No, we went right to where Santa came on a sleigh and handed candy canes to all the children. I'm almost getting grumpy. And then on Polk Street outside of a store, there were Mr. and Mrs. Santa with their actual beards and saying ho, 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 and I just kind of walked by them. I'm just tired of Santa. I think I'm tired of Santa because it seems to kind of overwhelm and morph what this holy holiday is about. It's really hard to engage in any kind of depth conversation about Santa. I mean, I did have a person ask me about what the origins of Santa is, and I tried, but then I just kind of gave up. I found myself actually longing that I had seen a few more angel things out. Now, there was years when I was angel grumpy, but now I found myself longing for that because at least it would give me a way to enter into a conversation or remember this magnificent story. And then I wondered if there was a change of emphasis. Is Santa all San Francisco, or is angels kind of fallen out of emphasis? Well, I realized it's kind of a San Francisco thing. Because I went and looked at the Gallup polls, and 8 out of 10 people in the U.S., adults, believe that angels or ethereal beings are real. 8 out of 10. And of that population, 94% of people who go to worship believe or think that angels are real. And if you look at what I preach about and what we talk about in churches, you wouldn't think we're very aware of that or we're very respectful of that belief. And so I've been thinking a lot more about angels and why 8 out of 10 people in the U.S. say they believe in them. Believe in God is 9 out of 10, so they're right kind of up there. I wonder what such the draw is. Well, I think part of it is just kind of pop culture right now. It started in the mid-90s, and it's still going on. I mean, angels sell. Victoria's Secrets and angels, really? Well, it's going. Or you can buy angel perfume. I think you can get it at Walgreens, or at least Walgreens online. I was, what does an angel smell like? I mean, some of these angels hang out in deserts and rural areas and fields. I don't know. But before I get kind of on that grumpiness again, one author reminded me that the fact that there are many books around that are kind of flaky about angels, it doesn't mean that there isn't something behind it. So I went and looked at books on angels, okay, because I thought, all right, maybe that person's right. On Amazon, 100 pages of books that have the title, that have angel in the title, 100 pages. And I looked through a couple of them, and they had things like Angel 101, Introduction to Connecting, Working, and Healing with Angels, Handbook to Angel Therapy, Angels All Around Us, or this one I really like, Sightseer's Guide to the Invisible World, Angel Handbook. And then there was called Angels in My Hair, and I stopped reading at that point. And then I went back and saw that some of these books had a seriousness to them. There was one that says, it says, To Heaven and Back. It's a story about a Presbyterian elder who had a life and death experience and encountered something holy and angels and had to write a book and talk about it. And this is an elder who didn't talk about such things. And there were books like by Billy Graham that talked about angels in the scripture. And I thought, this is the truth. It does speak to some hunger. And I wondered again, why is this emphasis on angels? It started, the belief kind of grew in the mid-90s, and it hasn't gone away. Well, some would say maybe it's that selling thing, but I think it's more than that. I think there is a longing in people not to be alone in this world, to have an encounter with divine. As one person would say, seems like we're going to hell in a handbasket, so we're desperate for anything. But I think it's also this longing for a word of comfort, a word of help, a word of security in a world that feels so topsy-turvy. It's a longing for the divine, that there is something more than us in the world. And I want to hold on to that, because angels, messengers, really are a part of our tradition of faith. If we look at the scriptures, they're all over the pages and woven in and fluttering around those pages. There are at least 300 times that messengers or angels are mentioned in the scripture. And on a whole, they aren't masculine or feminine, they just are. They're only named twice, Gabriel and Michael. They're in the Old and the New Testament. And the Hebrew word for angels, you just learned from the kids, it means messenger from God. These ones who have a special commission to fulfill, sometimes even these messengers are humans. They may come like strangers or visitors in a desert that come up to someone's tent and said, "We need something to eat." They may come as a group or an army, a host of angels. They can be frightening, like a voice coming from a burning bush. They can give direction or tell the future, like they did to Hagar in the wilderness. These messengers keep one safe. They guard over us like they do in the Psalms. They speak through dreams and sometimes, like Zechariah, interpret for God. What all these messengers and angels have is they come from God on God's initiative. So it's a bit of corrective for us. If those angels and messengers are all about us, probably not the right ones. They don't point to God, then maybe they're not messengers. Angels were very much a part of Jesus' story and Jesus' world. You have Gabriel with Mary and Zechariah and with the shepherds. Angels are said to minister with Jesus after his time of temptation in the wilderness. And they are at the tomb giving the news of the resurrection, greeting the women. They're heralds of Jesus. They tell the story, but in some ways they're a bit player. They're always pointing to God and to the way of Jesus. These messengers, they comfort, they advise, they astounded, they protected people in a world where it seemed like it was often perplexing and cruel. And they said again and again in the scriptures that we read today, "Fear not, for God is with you." Which you can tell, that means they're frightening. They speak a word of love, of God's love for all people. And these messengers can take a bit of questioning, of perplexed spirit. For what they do say is that God has a plan, and it may be bigger than your imagination, and that God will even use you. I think of Sarah when she heard the news that she would have a child in her old age. She laughed in the face of a messenger. I think when angels come, when messengers come, there's a sense of assurance and a sense of awe. A sense of God is with us, and sometimes we cannot help but maybe laugh or maybe shiver at God's presence. So are angels real? I'd have to say yes. Is God's presence, God's messenger still in the world today? I'd say yes. I believe in a lot of things that I can't explain and haven't even experienced firsthand. I expect some of you may have actually had an experience of an angel in the classical sense. But I think many of you have had an experience with God's messenger speaking to you in your life. I think they look a little different. I like the children, like maybe we have a parade and we see what those angels would look like. For I still believe that God's messengers come today. I think they look a little different in San Francisco. But they speak a word of God. They speak a way of Christ, of compassion and justice. And tell you the truth, I think a lot of times they don't even use words. And sometimes they surprise me where God's angels and God's messengers came to me. I found them in a file this week. Yes, there was a messenger. About 15 years ago, I clipped an article from a newspaper and put it in a file and didn't look at it again. This is before the days of internet. Oh. And that article was yellowed and really old. 1994, I think it said. That's like before, Annie, it was before you were born, wasn't it? Yeah, really old, really. And I read it this time, and God spoke to me through this. Didn't for 15 years, but illumine this passage. It's an article written by Anne Quinlan. You probably know her. She's an author. But she used to work at the New York Times, and she wrote this article as her last article on the 17th of December. So I'm offering you this bit of message. In October of 1992, an obituary went with this headline in the New York Times: Harold Brown Sr., 61, investment executive dies. It was his obituary. That description was right as far as it went, but it did not capture the essence of Brown's life. If it did, it would have said, Harold Brown Sr., 61, did good. For a long time, I've been meaning to write this particular column. It's somehow fitting that it turns out to be my last. For more than 20 years, I've been a reporter in a job a lot of people say would make a person cynical. And somehow it's only left me more idealistic. For the last 5 years I've been here in this space, considering the great issues of the day, this is what I've observed. The great issues of the day are the same as they were when John the Baptist said, He that has two coats, let him give one to him that has none. The great issues of the day are same when Charles Dickens wrote and created the ghost of Jacob Marley. Mankind is my business, the ghost cried. The lesson learned too late, the common welfare was my business. That is the most important thing I have learned in the newspaper business, that our business is one another. Time after time, story after story, I've learned it from everyday angels. Brown, who saw the homeless in Midtown subway grates, instead of looking away, organized a small shelter at his parish church. He was one. So was Arlene Carmen, who died this year. She spent her nights in a van on 8th Avenue, bringing coffee and cake and a place to consider the future to street prostitutes. Like Scrooge, I've walked the streets and seen goodness in dark places and shed the frosty rind that's said to come with my profession. I visit the Holy Apostles Soup Kitchen in Manhattan, where everyday volunteers feed 1,000 people. And the New York Project in Jersey City, where there's a home and a school for women looking for a second chance. I've been to schools where teachers bring imagination and intellect to life, and hospitals where nurses bring comfort and joy. This morning, I could have visited the Tavern on the Green, where the Robin Hood Foundation is having its annual breakfast. Founded by 3 anti-Marleys, Wall Street traders who cleaned up big time in the 80s, decide to invest in empathy. The foundation gives money to groups who work with the poor, who shelter and feed and care for them. Leaders of this group speak of their work, and the who's who's in the audience will and always will be dazzled by the simple spectacle of unabashed humanity. They do dazzle, these everyday angels. just as the angel did in the Christmas story, scaring the wits out of the shepherds. But the angel said, "Fear not." And that's what I've learned from their contemporary counterparts, the rape counselors, the good cops, the nuns, the librarians. Life will be hard. Politicians will be mean. Money will be scarce and bluster will be plentiful. But somehow, good will be plentiful. I've been lucky to know some of these everyday angels. They've had names like Ellen and Al and Stephen and all the others. You know who you are. You stand in opposition to spiritual isolism. And it makes icicles out of our insides and a hard lump of coal out of our hearts. "Karma is a boomerang," said one tip cup in the village coffee shop. "If you do not reach out, it is we who will be alone." The great issues of the day are same as they were when 15-year-old Anne Frank, only 3 weeks shy of the discovery of her attic hideaway, less than a year before her death in a concentration camp, wrote in her shabby plaid diary these words: "In spite of everything, I still believe people are good at heart." Anne was right. The heavenly hosts prove it every day in Coney Island, in Washington Heights, in Flushing, on Polk Street, with cots, with comfort, with boxes of tissues. I leave you with the tidings of great joy. Those to shun the prevailing winds of cynicism and isolation, those wings can truly fly. May you hear God's messengers this season. May you be God's messengers, God's angels, here on earth this season. May it be so. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we wait for the coming of your Son and feel the hope that this season brings. We think of Mary as she continues on her journey. But sometimes we're impatient, God, impatient in the journey our lives take us. We want things to change now, to be different. We often think we know what is best for ourselves and for everyone else. It's hard for us to see the big picture and to feel your all-encompassing love, your inspiration that you provide for us. We pray for the knowledge of your will, God, and ask that you show us how we can carry out your will, that you guide us out of our self-will and into your will. Help us to live in the present moment, God, right now, where you are, to be grateful rather than impatient, to be accepting of our situations and of other people while we wait. We know that you are a kind and generous God, but sometimes we forget. Help us to remember and feel your love, your grace, and your solace, which you offer to us unconditionally. Guide us in remembering that the challenges we face today may help the next person when they are faced with similar difficulties. Our experience, strength, and hope may show them that they too can overcome adversity. And so we wait. Remind us to open ourselves up to feel your presence, that you are everywhere, here in Old First, in our friends, our family, the stranger we encounter, in the big events and small moments, in all of the angels in our midst. You always wait for us. Sometimes we live in fear instead of having faith in you, knowing that your comfort and joy are always available. We can't make sense of so many events in our lives and in this world. Help us to show your love, to think of others and what we can offer them instead of thinking of ourselves. How can we make a situation better for someone else? We know that you love us so much that you're sending your Son to be with us. We're so thankful and full of joy for his coming. Let us feel your hope and show us patience, God. Let us hear your messengers. as we wait. Today we pray for Charles Burns and our prayer partners, Lois Nason, Brian Nichols and Robin Currier, Dana Najima and Elaine Lyford Najima, Chuck Olson, Jean Olson, Katie Olson, Jed, Benjamin, and Lucy, our neighbors and all who worship with us today, and those who benefit from our joy gift offering, those who depend on the PCUSA's Board of Pensions and Ethnic Schools and Colleges. And now we say the prayer that you've taught us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.